This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, on Sunday, 11th October 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. We welcome you to join with us for worship. If you are in or around Eldoret, come join worship with us at Grace Baptist Church. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street behind Cogo Flats in Eldoret Town. As I bring God's word this morning, then, I do want to give an introduction. And this is it. Do a self-test. Is there anything that you would tell a friend of yours that, I am sorry, I will not do that for you or participate with you because it is the Lord's Day? Is there something like that in your life? Think about it. You know, that would be very bold, but it is the right thing to say. However, people would rather rebel against God's fourth commandment and instead please their friends. Are you guilty of that today? Questions of what is the right day to worship or how should I conduct myself on the Lord's Day are questions that continue to bother many people. The Lord Jesus does not want us to be hypocrites, but rather to receive his teaching and so give him an acceptable worship. And I want to bring God's word today from Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 to 14. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 to 14. You will remember, those who heard my last week's sermon of Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, as I brought the first part of problems concerning the Sabbath day. Problems concerning the Sabbath day. And today, therefore, we will be looking, or I'll be preaching, the part two of that sermon from verses 9 to 14. Now, just before reading those verses, I want to say this. In the Bible, the word Sabbath means rest. So God's Sabbath day means God's resting day. In line with God's unchanging laws, and that is, I'm referring to the Ten Commandments, God's appointed day of rest and worship, that is the fourth commandment, has an abiding authority. It will not go away. The Sabbath does not mean Saturday. Please, let me repeat that. The word Sabbath in the Bible does not mean Saturday. Now, this is the confusion among the SDAs. It needs to be stated clearly. They have gotten it wrong and are misleading people so badly. You see, there were 6 days of work followed by the seventh day of rest from work. Now, in line with the apostles' teaching and practice, the day changed, but the rest remained. The day changed, but the resting that is required remained. It changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. The first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day. That is what it is called in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. It is also called the Resurrection Day. Now, that is crucial. That is important. It is called the Resurrection Day because it is the day on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Let me just give you a few verses. Remember, we have not read our today's passage, and I will read it in a moment. But these questions have been confusing people, the question about the Sabbath day. And so, when you look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1, we read this, John chapter 20, verse 1, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early and saw that the tomb had been rolled away from the tomb. In other words, the Lord Jesus had resurrected. And then chapter 20 of John, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. And that is making reference to when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. And then the same John chapter 20, verse 26, puts it this way. And after 8 days, what does that mean? Well, the first day of the week, his disciples were again inside, that is, inside, locked up for fear of the Jews, or the authorities. Now, then we meet, or we come, or we meet this first day phrase and truth brought again in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 11, or verses 7 to 11. And there we find this captured. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread. And it's talking of how there was that long meeting in the night as they listened to the apostle. And then I'll just give you one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he tells them, on the first day of the week, that is, when the Corinthians met for worship. And so, those facts and those verses are very helpful to remove the confusion that people have about the mixing the Sabbath day with the seventh day. Well, last Lord's Day, that is last week in my preaching, we looked at how Jesus dealt with the problem of plucking ears of grain on the Sabbath. And just one point, I brought a number of things by way of application, but I just want to remind you of this, that consciously, let us mark out and prepare for the Lord's Day. Let us mark out and prepare for the Lord's Day, because that day, the Lord's Day, require our physical, mental, material, and spiritual preparation. Please think about that. Well, today, as the Lord enables us, I want us to look at the second portion of my preaching, verses 9 to 14. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 to 14. I want us to look at how Jesus deals with the problem of healing on the Sabbath day. How he deals with the problem of healing on the Sabbath day. Now, let me read those verses in your hearing from verse 9 to verse 14. He, Jesus, went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. That was their motive. He said to them, "Which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. We pray. Lord Jesus, we saw last week that you are the Lord of the Sabbath. And we pray that you will teach us how to conduct ourselves on the Sabbath. Oh, our God, we pray that we will not be found to be hypocrites. We will not be found to be in rebellion, mistreating your day. So help us. Help us now, we pray. Open our eyes to see that the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest, is a delight. A day when there is hope for the world, for salvation, because Christ resurrected. So hear us, bless us then, grant us understanding, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring God's word and draw out three simple points from the passage, and then at the end we will look at some areas of application. I just want us to see this passage, how it unfolds. Simple explanation. And so the first point we see is the Pharisees seek to accuse Jesus. The Pharisees seek to accuse Jesus. Now, Jesus enters the synagogue for the purpose of worship and immediately gets confronted by the Pharisees. That is what we read in verse 9 and verse 10. Listen to it again. He, Jesus, went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they, that is the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Now, they know that Jesus will not ignore the need of this man. You see, they have no concern for the man. Their motive, actually, and intention of asking is laid bare at the end of verse 10. You see the end of verse 10? So that they might accuse him. Now, that was their motive of asking Jesus the question. In other words, to have something to charge him with. They are out to get him. So how can they get him? Anything will do. So they ask this question. You see, these people, the Pharisees, these people who appeared so holy about the Sabbath observance, But the Lord Jesus knows their hearts. He knows their thoughts, as the Gospel of Mark would show us. You know, this brings us to this point. Does your Lord's Day activities and words reveal a godly intention and motive, or hypocrisy? What would you say? What would you say about your activities and about your words? Do they reveal true godliness or hidden hypocrisy as the Pharisees? Anyway, that's the first point. The Pharisees seek to accuse Jesus. But in the second place, the second point, Jesus does good on the Sabbath. Jesus does good on the Sabbath. You see, the Lord of the Sabbath directs this young man, we're not told whether he was young, but a man. This man, he directs him, he commands him, orders him to stand before all the people, as the parallel passage in Mark and Luke would show us. Now, Jesus seems to be saying, do you see, you all, do you see this man in his pathetic situation? Does his condition not draw your sympathy, surely? Now, we are not told if he asked that. And if he did, we are not told what their response was. But Jesus seemed to be pricking their conscience. Indeed, in the parallel passage, we are told he looked around. He looked around at everyone with anger because of their behavior. Well, let's look at verse 11 first and 12. We read those verses. Verses 11 and 12. He said to them, which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. You see, it was commonly agreed that danger to life took precedence over Sabbath. If someone is in danger, if something really, an animal is in danger, even if it is on the Sabbath day, it needs to be rescued, Sabbath day or no Sabbath day. But to the Pharisees, this man with a withered hand, this man, they don't see him as a man in danger. No, they don't at all. And that's why the illustration the Lord Jesus Christ uses is challenging them. A man with his animal falling into the pit, he will not say, sorry, animal, you stay there till the Sabbath is over. No. He will drop everything. He will go and rescue it. Because it is in danger. Remember, let me just give you a simple illustration. Yesterday, as I was in my study, preparing, and then I got onto a phone call with someone. And as I was speaking over the phone, I actually heard my dogs. We've got three dogs in the compound. And the two of the dogs attacked, actually, one of our chicken. And so I heard a distress call, as it were, from the chicken, the three of them. They're very new in the compound here, and the dogs, I think, thought they were helping me, that strangers have come into the compound. And so I had to rush out. I left everything to go and rescue my chicken. One didn't survive, which was very sad. But that is just a simple illustration where life is in danger. You drop everything. And in this case, even if it's on a Sabbath day, the Pharisees did not see that. And to them, this man is in no danger. You see, they might have answered Jesus with Luke chapter 13, verse 14 in mind. You may not know that passage, but it's important to look at it. Luke chapter 13, verse 14. They could well be having this in mind. The passage says, Luke 13, 14. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath." Do you see that? Do you see that? This was the character or the behavior of the Pharisees. Very strange indeed. No, really, Jesus' question shows that there is no qualitative difference between saving life and healing the man. There is none. You see, Jesus, we actually see in the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 3, sorry, not Matthew, but Mark chapter 3, verse 5, that Jesus is angered and grieved, and at least by two things. One, the attitude of the Pharisees of no mercy. They had no mercy. And by the way, we need to learn that showing mercy is always right. It's always good. Because the Lord Jesus said, yes, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Secondly, Jesus is also angered and grieved by the people who could not rejoice on the Sabbath, but harbored hatred. Yeah, they have no mercy. Instead, they have hide in their hearts terrible hatred, which shortly will just come to the open. So then Jesus fixes his attention on the handicapped man, the sick man. And so in verse 13 we read, "Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And the man stretched it out, and it was restored healthy like the other." And this man is immediately and completely cured. There was no need for subsequent checkups and physiotherapy. No. You see, Jesus has come to bring the fullness of life. He has come to bring the fullness of life, which here is symbolized by restoring the body of this man. This man who had been wrecked by the devastating effect of disease as a result of sin. Jesus restores and brings the fullness of life. So that is then the second thing we see in this passage, that Jesus does good on the Sabbath. But of course, in the third place, the Pharisees plan to destroy Jesus. The Pharisees plan to destroy Jesus. Verse 14. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. You see, in Mark chapter 3, the parallel passage, these Pharisees actually go out and consult with the Herodians. And before we understand who these Herodians are, the other parallel passage, Luke chapter 6, verse 11, we are told that these Pharisees were filled with madness. Can you believe it? Filled with madness and consulted with each other. And of course, the conclusion of the matter, come on, let's go and consult the Herodians how we can destroy him. So who are the Herodians? Well, this was a thoroughly unholy and worldly political party. It was a political party, but of some very worldly people and ideas. They supported Herod's rule and would do anything to protect it and promote it. Now, the Pharisees, who took themselves as very holy, very righteous, so they said and claimed, they demonstrated that, as it were, in their worship, where they would say, Father, I thank you. I'm not like other people. I'm not even like that other, tax collector. They prided themselves holiness. But wonder of wonders, now they agree to unite with the most ungodly people in their day. Surely we observe two things there. These strange bedfellows, they unite and plan how to kill Jesus. Think of that. Their plan with this wicked group, it was all about how to kill Jesus. That's one. But two, listen to this. They actually carry out this murderous plan. When is that? On the Sabbath, in which they have accused Jesus of working. And what was Jesus accused of doing? Healing and restoring life. Do you see that height of hypocrisy? Surely. Now, that's the passage. What are we learning? What do we draw from this passage? Of course, we saw a number of things last week. Some things would be similar, but I don't want to repeat. So I bring them, as I trust, in a fresh approach. So the first thing we see is the purpose of the day of rest. The purpose of the day of rest, or the Lord's Day, the purpose of the Sabbath. And please listen. The purpose of the day of rest is not a negative thing. This is not a negative day. It's not to be looked at negatively. It's not to be viewed as a day full of prohibitions as the Pharisees made it out. No. A Sabbath, the day of rest, the Lord's Day, is actually a positive day. It is for man's benefit. Yes, it is for your benefit and enjoyment. Yes. So, the question then that we all should be asking is, so how should we use the Sabbath? How should we use the Lord's Day? You see, there are the lawful works or the lawful things that are proper to be performed in this day of rest. There are things that we need to see. Now, at least I'll give you three areas. One is works of devotion. Works of devotion or piety, if you like. Works of devotion. In other words, works connected with the worship of God. Works connected with the worship of God. Now, that, of course, there are many things, but I just give you a few things that would involve things like driving to church or taking a matatu or a vehicle to the place of worship. That's a work of devotion. At church, arranging the place of worship, whether it be chairs, dustering them, just getting things ready in the place of worship. Other activities like teaching and preaching, those are works of devotion and proper to be done on the Lord's Day. And so think about those areas and indeed many others that would fall under works of devotion. But not only that, there are also works of necessity. Works of necessity. I'm thinking of things like, or times like, hunger. Hunger to fill or get food to eat. It's a work of necessity. You'd think of the passage we read, the verses, Matthew chapter 12, which we studied last week, verses 1 to 8, and particularly that portion where King David and his men went and asked for bread of the priest, which ordinarily was not lawful for anyone but the priests alone to eat. But because he was hungry with his men, and he ate, and there was nothing wrong, because that was a work of necessity. Also, works of necessity, we are thinking of things like making of meals, you know, making food so that family or friends or you know, people can eat. We think of the hospitals. We think of security. We think of milking of animals. Those are examples of works of necessity. Now, I leave it to you to answer before God if sports, games, parties are works of necessity. Are they? You need to answer before God with all honesty. You know, Kenya has been called a Christian nation. Yet, the Lord's Day is a day of sports and games and parties and business? Surely, this ought not to be so. This ought not to be so. Think of works of necessity. But I want us to see then another area. So we have not only seen works of devotion, works of necessity, then there are the works of mercy, the works of mercy. Okay. Jesus, in Mark chapter 3, verse 4, the parallel passage, Jesus asks, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" You see, if it is within your powers to save life, that is doing good. If it is within your power to save life, but you fail to do that, then you know what? You kill. You may not plunge a knife into someone's throat or chest, but if it is within your ability and your powers to save life, but you fail, then you kill. In other words, saving life is a work of mercy. And therefore it is right, it is proper. Here I am thinking of the labors of the medical staff. I'm thinking of the doctors and the nurses and the caregivers. I'm thinking of visiting and comforting the sick, helping the needy. These are always good. They are works of mercy and can be done and must be done on the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, the day of rest. Because, you know, when you do that, actually, you are after the pattern of your dear Savior. He did carry out works of mercy on the Sabbath. Then, in the second place, so in terms of application, the first point in terms of application, I have phrased the purpose of the day of rest and showed you how we should use the day of rest and say that it is as we engage ourselves in the works of devotion, works of mercy, and works of necessity. Now, in the second place, and more briefly, I challenge all who call themselves Christians, all who call themselves believers, I challenge you to call the Sabbath a delight. Call the rest day a delight. Call the Lord's Day a delight. You see, we should all live in the light and the joy of God's provided rest. The prospect of the first day of the week should excite every believer. Why? You see, it is a day when we seek freshness from the Lord, which we need to go through the week of labor which is ahead of us. It is the first day of the week. And so we come expectantly. We come to draw from the Lord. Remember, it is the day that the Lord resurrected. And therefore the blessing that the Lord has for his people, he pours upon us so that now we can face the days that are ahead of us. You see, my friends, it is the day when he restored lives which had been harassed by disease due to sin. It's a blessed day, a day of delight. I encourage you to rejoice on this day. Live each day desirous for that day to come. Let it not be a day when you must feel sorry you can't open your business. A day you feel sorry that you're coming to somehow waste your time at church. It must not be so. It is a day of delight for every believer. Finally, for those who are not saved, this is the day of hope for your salvation. The Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest, actually, is the day of hope for your salvation. Why do I say that? Well, because it is the day that the Savior of sinners conquered sin and the devil. Yes. So that this day holds hope of salvation for you. Salvation comes to you by and through this person who rose again on the first day of the week. And so I present to you the Lord of the Sabbath. Believe in him, and you will be made whole from the heart. Because when you are made whole from the heart, then indeed the whole person is whole. Oh, look at the Lord of the Sabbath, and you will be saved. Amen.